Welcome to this week's podcast from Free Chapel in Orange County. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information, check out our website at freechapel.org.
Open your Bibles. Let's go. I'm going to share something today that I really felt God put on my heart this week for us. And I'm not going to preach for long, but I do believe that God's going to deposit something in your heart and in your spirit. I've really been praying for it and in preparing and going through things in scripture. And I just keep coming back to praying just a simple prayer. God, deposit something in people's hearts. There's a difference between when we get taught something and when something is imparted. You know the difference. We can think back about things that we've been taught, and we can go through the points of this was this point and that was that point. But then there's those moments where you look back and you almost cannot explain in point form what happened, but you know you walked out different. Do you know those feelings? How many have been in those meetings before, or you've had those encounters with God before where you left different to how you came in, where something shifted in your spirit? Spirit and something shifted in your heart. And that's what I'm really praying and believing that God is going to do today. So I'm going to preach just from a short passage in Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Make sure at the end of the service, make sure you get down and check out the bookstore. Make sure you get a bargain. We're getting rid of a whole heap of different stuff there. You can get books, t-shirts. It's going to be awesome. Pastor Jake said while I was saying that, talking about people that want to buy t-shirts to work in the yard, Pastor Jake leans over and said, "I don't wear a shirt when I work in the yard." I don't know what that means, but pray, showing off the guns apparently. So pray for him, please. And our young people as well. So here we go. Are you ready? Joel chapter 2, verse 28. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." Everyone say all flesh. Geez, that was a great response, wasn't it? Did you hear that? That was it. "Pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions." I want to read it again. "And I shall pour out, afterwards I shall pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions." What I want to preach about, and I'm going to use a couple of different stories in the Bible today, but what I want to talk about is when dreams and visions collide. When dreams and visions collide. This is talking about he really unwraps here a byproduct of what's going to happen when the Spirit of God is poured out. We know that this is the verse that is referred to in Acts when the Holy Spirit falls in the book of Acts, and he says this is what the prophet Joel prophesied. But what I want to talk about is the importance in a move of God and the importance in a revival. You know, we pray for revival. We believe for revival. We believe God's going to bring it. But what I want to talk about and unwrap here is the importance of both dreams and both visions within this move of God. That it says that he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. That we have to be reminded that when the presence of God moves, it doesn't just target a particular age group. It doesn't just target, it goes out across all flesh. Now, God may do it through a youth movement, or God may do it through a particular event or particular conference, but the move of God is not specific to a particular age bracket. Because I believe it's actually a strategy of the enemy, where what he tries to do is he's trying to actually divert the vision of the young and actually kill the dream of the old. And I believe that is a strategy of the enemy to try and segregate and pull people away from being included and being a part, a strategic part of this move of God that the Holy Spirit wants to do within the church. But we're going to need both the dreams of the old and the vision of the young in order to see God do it within the church. That when we see things like conference coming up with Forward Conference in Gainesville and how powerful it is that older people, we like to call them here the young at hearts, that the young at hearts wouldn't sit there and see that and think, well, that's awesome for the young people, but that the dreamer inside of you would begin to stir in understanding that you are a huge integral part of something like Forward Conference. That older people would not feel intimidated by a youth movement that's coming up. That older people would not feel left behind when the church starts to get modern and things like the app. How many of you older people sat there and looked at each other and said, what is an app? Come on, wave it, be real with me. If some of you are like Googling on your phone, listen, the older people wouldn't be intimidated by new technology and new things that God is bringing in and creativity to advance the kingdom, but you would understand that what you're seeing is just some vision behind the dreams that I believe God has already put in your heart as older people. We see this so often through scripture and how important it is that when God says that He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's not just the God of one generation. He's the God of all generations. But we have to understand, and younger people have got to understand, that as they advance and as they step forward and use their vision to step into what God has for them, that it's not about leaving behind the older generation, but it's about actually walking together arm in arm, dreams and visions colliding together to see God do something supernatural and something life-changing. It's a strategy of the enemy. We see young people, we see events, and we see craziness going on in the world, and we see these huge, big festivals that young people go on and just get crazy and get into drugs and get distracted and get into just going crazy. What is that? It's just misguided vision. That's all it is. It's misguided vision. It's misguided passion. And one of the mistakes I think the church has made in the past is we've tried to dull down that passion. But what we need to do is actually channel it into the things of God. Channel that vision and say that passion, that desire, that craziness that you have, that excitement that you have, that's a God-given gift that needs to be used for the kingdom of God. That needs to be channeled into the things of God. And we need some older people to remind the younger people that what you have inside of you is not a negative thing, but it's a gift from God used that God wants to use to build the kingdom of God. It's a vision that they have. And what happens is in the Bible, there's a couple of different stories that we can draw from. But what I want to talk about, one of the ones I want to look at is in 1 Samuel in 17. I'm just going to summarize it, but it's the story that we know of David and Goliath. And we know the story, what happens with David. David's anointed king and he's a shepherd boy and his brothers go off to battle. And then David arrives on the battle scene. And you have Goliath, it says that the Goliath day after day would come out and would intimidate. He would constantly intimidate. He would stand there and he would shout at them and he would call them out and just call them everything. And everyone was standing there. There was a desire. They were there for battle. There was a desire. There was a dream to overcome the enemy, but no one was advancing. It all looked the part. There were soldiers there and Saul was there and everything. But then you have in this story, David arrives on the scene. And what happens is we know it. David sees Goliath there and he says, well, why doesn't someone do something? Like someone, you know, take this dude out. Like what's happening? It doesn't make sense to him. What David brings is he brings a totally different perspective. It's almost like they'd been looking at Goliath too long. And they had allowed intimidation to creep into the camp where they began to question who they were and what they were called to do. And they had everything. They had the armor. They had the equipment. They had everything there. But it's almost like they'd been facing this giant so long and the giant had just constantly spoken and intimidated them and caused them to stand still. But then it took a young person to walk on the scene with some fresh perspective. And this fresh perspective came on and he stood there and looked and it didn't make sense to him. He says, what's going on? Like, I mean, Goliath, army, just take him out. Like, is someone going to do something? He gets so frustrated. He ends up, he talks about it and the conversation gets heard by Saul and he goes before Saul. And what happens is Saul says to him, listen, he says to David says to Saul, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take this dude out for you guys. And Saul says, well, I think he feels some sort of sense of responsibility. And so he says, here, this is how we do it. This is how we've done it in the past. Let me put the way of the past onto you so that you can go and do what it is that you want to do. Let me put my armor, let me put the weapons I've used in the past on top of you. But then what David does is the difference was David actually, see, if you look at the interpretation of what the word vision means, the word vision actually means revelation. And David came onto this battlefield with a fresh revelation of how he was going to win this victory and win this fight. He brought something to this battlefield that they had never seen before. So much so, and he was so stirred, he was so, felt such a conviction by his own revelation that when they tried to put the old way on top of him, the armor and the sword, it didn't fit him, it didn't work for him. It might have been what they used in the past, but David had a new, fresh revelation that said, oh, we're not going to be able to take down this Goliath by what we've used in the past. I got to bring the revelation God has given me. And as much as it might not make sense to you, 5 stones makes a lot of sense to me because I've seen God do this before in my life. Let me show you the revelation that I have right now. And what we have to understand as a church, and when you have the dreams and the visions coming together, the dreams have got to get to a place where they're open to hear what the visions have to say. That's what I love about this church, is we have a church that molds together. You've got the older generation, you've got the younger generation coming together. The older can learn something fresh and new from the younger. They can get some fresh revelation. I want to tell you some of the things that are coming out of our youth ministry is revelation that some of us have never heard before. It's perspectives that young people have on situations. What we have to understand is we've got to have this openness to hear what God wants to do that's fresh within the church. Because one of the things that has kept the church held back in advancing in the kingdom of God is they hung on to a method so tightly. Because they fell in love with the method. Even though the method might not be performing what they wanted it to perform, they believed in the method more than they did the result. So we have churches that are so in love with the form and the method. And they don't want to break out of the form or break out of the method. And the moment a young person comes along with some vision, they don't understand it. And so they push the young person aside. And so young people feel disconnected from the church and feel like there's no voice for them in the church, which is why they end up in the world. Why? Because the world listens to them more than the church does. And so the world will say, come on, you got a great idea. Let's do this. You want to do that? Let's do that. You can do this in your job. And they provide space for the young people to give vision. But the church didn't do it. This is why we have to understand the power of what God wants to do is he wants dreams and visions to collide. The dreamers, the older generation with the dreams birthed of things that they've seen and want to see God do again. And then the vision coming along beside it saying, we can do it this way. Let's do it this way. The wisdom of the old and the discernment of the old with the passion and vision of the new. He's trying to distract vision and trying to kill a dream. And I felt God speak it to me as I was praying and preparing this. And I felt God just stirring my heart for this. I believe that this is such a powerful thing. It's the power of family. That's what this is. It's when the family, when the family of God come together. I want to tell you, every single one of you has a part in this church. I don't care what your age is. I don't care what your nationality is. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what your family is like. I don't care what your struggles are. We're all journeying through things, but every single one of you are a part of the family of God. And don't let the enemy lie to you. This church, we've gone through a lot of transition in the last year or so. Things developing. Let me tell you something. This is just the beginning. Don't be scared of change, because I want to tell you there's a lot more change coming, and that's what excites me, because I think we got to change because of what God's doing. We got to keep up. And we can't be, you don't let change intimidate you and try and cause you to make you feel like you don't have a part, because that's a lie from the enemy. It's a strategy that the enemy is trying to use. The story in Joshua 4, verse 1 to 7, is going to come up on the screen. It's the story of where they were going to cross. It's actually where they crossed the River Jordan. And it says here in 4, verse 1 to 7, and it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take of yourselves 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men who he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a shoulder on his stone according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. They walked across. It says that the Lord, earlier on, it talks about how the Lord, he stopped, God stopped the waters of the Jordan. And what happened is they walked across on dry ground, it says, and God spoke to Joshua and he said, go back and tell them to go and take a stone from where their feet stood on dry ground. And he says, set up the stones and take 12 stones. And it says, set up these stones so that it would be a reminder to your children of what God had done. See, there's something that I think older people need to be encouraged in, is that don't forget the dry ground that you've walked across. And don't keep the story of your dry ground to yourself. Because there's a generation of young people that are coming up that need to hear the story of the dry ground that you've walked across. Don't just think that the miracles, that the things that you've walked through in your past are just nothing. That was dry ground that you got to start to tell people about the goodness of God, because it will stir faith in a younger generation and stir in them a passion to see God do it again. It wasn't nothing what God did in your life. It wasn't nothing that healing that you walked through. It wasn't nothing that job he provided 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. It wasn't nothing when you had to raise your family and you had to believe God for every cent. I want to tell you, that was dry ground. Remember that dry ground and set up a stone. Listen, tell some young people about what God has done. Listen, some young people need to hear the stories of faith. I want to tell you this, there's some rock solid faith in the young at hearts in this church that needs to be preached about more and more, because it will stir something in the hearts of young people. You got to understand there's a generation of young people coming up that pray to ask God to believe for miracles they've never seen before. Some of you old young at hearts, you've seen it before. You got the faith for it. You've seen God provide. We need to hear the story. We need to hear the stories of the dry ground. Don't let the enemy try and shut your mouth. Don't let the enemy tell you that what you've walked through was nothing. Don't let the enemy get in your head and say you're old, you're past it, you're not up to date. That's a lie and strategy from the enemy that he's trying to rob this Vision Church from the strength of having dreams come behind it. You've walked across some dry ground. Wave at me if you know you've walked across some dry ground. I know that there's some testimonies here in this room. I know that there's some faith here amongst the older generation in this room. You've walked across some dry ground. We need to hear the story. I want to tell you this. Young people have got to hear the story of some dry ground. I need to hear the stories constantly of dry ground that you've walked across, because it stirs our faith. As if I can call, I'm sort of mid-range. I'm sort of like got a bit of vision and got a bit of dream. I'm 35, so I like to call myself younger, but then my wife, who's 12 years older than me, reminds me that I'm not. So, but I'm sort of, you know what I mean, got one foot in each camp. But let me tell you something. It stirs our hearts. It stirs our hearts to hear the stories. I had the opportunity to sit with Ralph Wilkerson two weeks ago with Pastor Jensen. We sat down, had lunch. His wife, how old was he? She'd be 90, is she? 92. His wife was sitting there. And they're talking, and we're just sitting there. What he was pouring in, I got my phone out, asked Caressa, and I pushed a voice memo on my phone and sat my phone on the table just so I could record what he was saying. But sitting with someone in their 80s and 90s talking about saving Orange County. Sitting there with tears in his eyes, talking about souls, talking about how he led the kid that was pushing his wheelchair through the airport. He led him to Christ just before he got on the aeroplane. I want to tell you that there's something stirring in the hearts of young people that they want to hear the stories of what God has done. We need to hear the stories of the dry ground. It's not done. It's not finished. And I felt it in my heart, and I know this is for some people here in this room. Don't let your dreams die. Don't let your dreams die. There's some older people that feeling like, well, it's time for me to just lay low. No, this is the time for you to fire up. This is the time for you to stir it up. Listen, Moses was 80 when he called. Caleb was 85 when he spoke to a mountain. It's time right now for you to stir it up. Stir it up in your heart and understand that God has put you here as part of a plan and part of a purpose. That there's some dry ground. Look at what happens in this story in Genesis 45, verse 25. Are you okay? Are you still with me? I know I'm yelling a lot, but I'm happy. Genesis 45, verse 25, it talks about, let's go there real quickly. I don't know if we got it. Is it going to come up on the screen? Genesis 25, it's the story of Joseph. And it says, 45:25, sorry. And we know the story of Joseph. Joseph was the dreamer. It was Jacob took so much, Jacob loved Joseph so much. Joseph was his dreamer. He was the one he gave the coat to. But then what happened for Jacob? His dream got taken. Joseph, we know the story, his brother sold him into slavery. It was done as he was concerned. It was finished. It was over. But then watch what happens in Genesis 45, verse 25. It says, they went up, speaking of the brothers, went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan, to Jacob their father. And they told him, saying, Joseph is still alive. And he is governor over all the land of Egypt. It says, and Jacob's heart stood still because he did not believe them. Verse 27, but when they told him all the words which Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the carts with which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. The spirit of Jacob, the father, revived. when he saw that his dream was not dead. His dream started coming back around the corner. When he saw the carts coming before him, the dream that he thought was dead, he saw is actually not dead, but it's coming back around the corner. And God spoke to me and said, I'm going to revive some dead dreams in church tonight. That there's some older people, some people that let your dream die. I want to stir your heart. Don't let your dream die. It's coming back around the corner. Now is your time, because God is about to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Upon all flesh, that visions and dreams would collide, that the youth of the vision behind the youth behind the visions and the older generation with the dreams, that we would come together and see God do something supernatural. That let your dream be revived this morning. It's not time to step back. It's time to step up. Young people, you can learn something from the older generation. Draw from that wisdom. Draw from that experience. I mean, we need some older people speaking. Cressa and I celebrate 1 year of marriage this Saturday. You know what we need? We need some older people speaking into the lives of younger people. Just saying, you know what? Sometimes it's just giving you, sometimes older people say, well, I don't want to tell them what to do. No, listen, it's just giving them a heads up. That's all it is. Saying, listen, man, just be careful of this. Don't let the enemy see the strength. I've got different people, obviously my own parents and Caressa, you know, and Caressa's parents speak life into our situation, life into our challenges. I've got different pastors that I'll talk to on the phone, and you know, so it doesn't take much. God spoke to me as well. There's an encouraging word that needs to come out that the enemy's trying to silence. In the older generation, and I say that respectfully, but the enemy's trying to silence the word of encouragement that you carry. Can I tell you something? Some of these young people, I know for myself, I know for Caressa, I know for some of our young pastors, Pastor Jake and Pastor Nate and Erica, Pastor Javon, all these people are young, even Pastor Jody. Let's throw you in there in the young category, Pastor Jody. But come on, let me tell you, you know what sometimes, can I be honest? You know what sometimes we need? Just an encouraging word from someone that's a bit further down the track that says, you know what, you're doing okay. Keep your head up. We're proud of you. We're behind you. There is such a power in that word of encouragement that you carry. There's a strength behind it. So a lady from Divine came up to me, in fact, not one, I've had a few come up to me and say, I need to tell you something, that your wife is doing the greatest job in Divine. And you know what I said to her? I said to this lady, I said, you know what? You need to go tell her that. Not because it's not like she's, you know what I mean, needy, saying, well, I need... No. It's don't let the enemy muffle that voice of encouragement. Speak it into someone younger. Stir it in someone younger. Get your dream coupled with their vision and see God do something supernatural, something powerful. It's a strategy of the enemy to distract the vision and try and kill the dream. But he's not going to do it in our church. There's going to be a voice. We're going to create space for a voice of the youngest of the young. Through the mouths of babes, the Bible said, there will be an opportunity for the youngest to speak and an opportunity for the oldest to speak. When visions and dreams collide. And I know that there's people here. I know that because I know when I was praying, there's people here that you feel like it's passed you by. You feel like you can't keep up. It can get overwhelming sometimes. You feel like all of the technology and all of the, you know, some of the older people I talk to and say, well, our church has changed a lot from when I was younger. The lights are different. The drums are different. The music's different. It feels like every time I come into church, something new is happening. Listen, don't let it hold you back. What we need to combine is old school standards, old school principles grounded in the Word of God, packaged in a modern way that the young people can get it, can understand it. It's the old school, new school. You don't have to water down the message to make the message relevant. But I just wanted to stir faith in your hearts. It's not time to check out. It's not time to step back. It's not time to lie down. It's not time to pull back. Now's the time to step up. And God's going to do something. I know He is. There's some older people here, and your heart stirred when we launched the small groups. But then you second-guessed it. You felt like, well, maybe I could lead a small group, but you second-guessed it because you thought, no, we're a bit too old to do that. Well, I believe God's telling you that was God speaking to you. Because there's going to be a lot of older people come into our church. Guess what? They don't want to go to a small group led by a 21-year-old. Well, maybe they do. I don't know. If they do, then all the best to them. Get in there and get crazy. But maybe they don't. But I know, as I felt God just say that, it's God speaking to you. Don't second guess it because of your age or because you feel like you don't connect or you're not a part. We need the vision of the youth and we need the dreams of the older. Coming together, that's the body of Christ. Just bow your heads and close your eyes. Lord, I thank you that you're here. God, I thank you for your touch. I thank you for the family of God. God, I thank you that as you continue to pour out your Spirit, that old men are going to dream dreams and young men are going to see visions. And God, right now I stir up the dreamer. God, in the older generation, I stir it up right now. Holy Spirit, I ask right now, the Holy Spirit is even reminding some of you of things. Dreams that you thought were dead. Dreams that you put on the shelf and thought, well, that'll never happen. It's too old now. Now, I believe the Holy Spirit is saying, come on, that was put in your heart. It's time to take that off the shelf again. Young people stirring up the vision. What can we do? Where can we advance? What's the next new thing that we need to take some ground in? And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come right now and I speak a word of encouragement right now to people that are discouraged. I bind discouragement now in the name of Jesus Christ. And I stir faith right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that you're here. I thank you for the body of Christ. I thank you for this family that we have.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. We hope you were blessed.